Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that your word can never fail. We pray that you would enlighten us by your word now and help us to live according to the promises that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you like to have a seat, please? A young teenager wanted nothing more than to be able to drive, to have the freedom just to hop in the car and go whenever the fancy or the need took her. Her parents promised her that for Christmas they'd grant her wish. During the weeks leading up to Christmas, she spent all her time wondering about the car that they'd buy her. She knew that they couldn't afford much, but maybe one of those little five-door hatchbacks. She waited and she wondered and she wondered and she waited. When Christmas morning came, she raced outside to look for her new car. But there was nothing there. She went back inside to be greeted by her parents with a small Christmas parcel. But they'd promised. When she unwrapped the parcel, she found inside a motor registry traffic handbook. She didn't yet have her driver's license. Money for a license and insurance and a tank of petrol. She hadn't thought of any of those things. And the keys to her parents' beautiful, stately old car that she loved so much. Her parents had revealed and fulfilled their promises in a wonderful and yet unexpected way. She'd not only received her desire and much more besides, but she'd also had reinforced for her parents' great love for her in the degree of cost to them and in the expectations and responsibilities that they had placed upon her. Their promise was fulfilled, not in the way that she expected, but in a way that she came to see was far greater and much more fitting. Well, from our gospel reading this morning, we see that all God's promises given through the Old Testament of the coming of the Messiah were finally revealed with the coming of Jesus, if not quite in the way that many expected to happen. At various times throughout the Old Testament, God had promised the coming of his special chosen one, the Messiah, who would come and liberate his people and bring them peace and prosperity in their own place, with their own God, and with all God's promised blessings fulfilled. Over the years following these promises, people had built up a whole series of expectations about how God was going to fulfill them. They expected a national hero king who would rally the people around, throw off the oppression of their enemies, and establish peace and prosperity in the country along the lines of the heyday of the great King David. That certainly sounds like the kind of things that many of God's promises throughout the Old Testament were talking about. And it's the same kind of expectation that was widespread among the people when John the Baptist began preaching repentance in the wilderness. They were waiting for a hero who would come in, overthrow the Romans, and re-establish a strong, independent state of Israel. And yet, despite the fact that John the Baptist and others had heard these promises, despite the fact that John the Baptist had baptized Jesus and heard the Holy Spirit's voice attest him as the Son of God, people didn't see these things happening in quite the way that they expected. We read that John the Baptist was perplexed and mystified. That's what this Christian term, mystery, actually means in a technical sort of sense. Something that could not have been guessed or thought out, but when revealed by God himself, is seen to be thoroughly fitting and appropriate that it should be thus. God revealed his promised king, not born into a wealthy family and influence, not sent as the conquering Messiah from the sky, but born as a helpless baby of poor parents in very lowly situation and in what could have been considered by some outsiders as quite questionable circumstances. This was not what the people expected because they didn't know the full story. They'd forgotten that God's earlier promise to Abraham was that he would bless all people and draw them all to himself, not just the Jews, but all nations. They'd overlooked the fact that being saved by the Lord, for that's what the name Jesus means, the Lord saves, they'd overlooked the fact that being saved by the Lord involved something far more radical than just a political salvation. It involves a fundamental reconciliation between a sinful people and their holy God. So this coming king, who would be revealed as the fulfillment of God's promises, would establish his kingdom not by force, but by winning back the hearts of men and women. His kingdom would last forever, not in one small country, but in the lives of all his subjects at all times, and finally and fully be restored in the new heavens and the new earth. But how could a little baby achieve all of these things? Well, again, Mary was given promises. Promises that would require a surprising fulfillment. Again, it's only as the promise is later revealed that its fulfillment becomes clear. When the shepherds later visited the stable and told of their part in the story, we read that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She left the fulfillment in God's hands, happy to suspend judgment until God revealed his solution. And he did reveal it. The baby promised to Mary was to be the revelation of these promises to David. We read in that passage from Luke, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And these promises to Mary, which were really promises for all people, these promises to Mary were revealed in the whole life, death, and resurrection of her son. For too many people today, Jesus remains the baby born in the shed. They forget that he grew into a man, leading the sinless life of perfect relationship to God, which none of us can live, and dying on the cross, cut off from God, to pay the price for sin that none of us can pay. And finally, he rose from the dead, restored to union with God, so that joined by faith in him, we might also be restored to God. Boy born in a shed may be the Christmas headline, but he actually does so. Sorry, boy born in a shed saves the world might be the Christian headline, but he actually does so not as the boy, but as the man, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again, that through him we might have life with God. This was the message of glad tidings that the angels brought to the shepherds. And this was the revealing of the promises of Gabriel that he'd brought to Mary, themselves the fulfillment of the much earlier promise to the great King David. Well, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, Paul could talk about the mystery having been revealed. Jesus' death and resurrection made sense of why God did these things the way he did, why Jesus needed to come as an ordinary baby, and how this baby would indeed be God's promised king. This wasn't how the people back then expected God to reveal his promise, nor is it how many people today are willing to admit that God is doing things. But as we recognise this whole set of events as the revealing of God's promise, then we rejoice in understanding just how right and how fitting it is that it should be so. When we recognise the perfection of God's promises and how they're revealed and fulfilled, then we can celebrate Christmas with the joy that the angels proclaimed. Because we understand the coming of the baby Jesus to be the perfect revelation of God's mystery, hidden from ages past, but now revealed through Jesus Christ.